If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9, we're going to be in a number of different passages today, and so we want to jump right in here to Exodus chapter 9. I'm glad you've joined us for our online message for Sunday morning, and we're looking to see what God will teach us during this time. In 1911, Shackleton, that's Sir Ernest Shackleton, had a dream of becoming the first person to set foot on the South Pole. Well, that dream was shattered in 1911 when Norwegian explorer Ronald Amundsen reached the Earth's most southerly point. The achievement forced Shackleton to set his sights on a new mark that would be crossing Antarctica via the South Pole. On August 1st, 1914, incidentally, the same day Germany declared war on Russia, beginning World War I, Shackleton departed London on the ship Endurance for his third trip to the South Pole. By late fall, the crew had reached South Georgia, an island in the southern Atlantic. On December 5th of 1914, the team departed the island, the last time Shackleton and his men would touch land for an astonishing 497 days. In January of 1915, the Endurance became trapped in ice, ultimately forcing Shackleton and his men to vacate the ship and set up camp on the floating ice. After the ship sank in November of 1915, 11 months after it was trapped, Shackleton embarked on an escape in April of 1916, in which he and his men crowded into three small boats and made their way to Elephant Island, off the southern tip of Cape Horn. 7 hard days on the water culminated in the team reaching their destination, but there was still little hope in getting rescued on the uninhabited island, which, because of its location, sat far outside normal shipping lanes. Seeing that his men were on the precipice of disaster, Shackleton led a team of 5 others out on the water again. They boarded a 22-foot lifeboat and navigated their way towards South Georgia. 16 days after setting out, the crew reached the island, where Shackleton then trekked to a whaling station to organize a rescue effort. On August 25th, 1916, Shackleton returned to Elephant Island to rescue the remaining crew members. Astonishingly, not a single member of his 28-man team died during the nearly 2 years they were stranded. When we look at the amazing expedition of Sir Ernest Shackleton, we know he must have been an absolutely incredible leader in order to protect and deliver home every single one of his crewmen. Shackleton was a powerful man, and not so much because of the physical power, but because of the authority and the seeming enabling ability that he had to be able to carry on with his men. As we face what seems to be somewhat of an impossible situation right now, I believe it's important that we take some time to focus on the power of an all-powerful God. Beyond any human leader or influence, God has the power to change our lives within our circumstances, not just to get us out of our circumstances. And we need to focus our hearts and attention on him. Let's ask God to open our eyes to this truth today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to look at this characteristic of your power. Lord, we thank you that this is an attribute that you carry that is beyond anything that we could ultimately imagine. Lord, we thank you for the privilege it is to be able to trust a God that we know has the ability to deliver us in any situation. And Lord, I pray that today that you would guide us and direct us into these truths, that you would open our eyes, that we would see clearly these truths and how they apply to our lives. Would you help me to say what needs to be said? Would you help me to apply what needs to be applied? And Lord, would you help everyone that's listening today, Lord, that we'd have hearts that are open to your working. Keep our hearts focused even during this time. Would you keep us from the distraction? And Lord, even in the midst of the online distractions that we may face during the time that we're listening to this, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to be able to stay focused in a unique way right now. Lord, give us power to be able to understand and to respond to truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be looking over the entire day today at this truth of God's power. This morning, we're going to really focus in on the description or the characteristic of God's power, and then apply it in a limited way this morning. And then this evening, we'll be really focusing in on how does God's power apply to our lives. We want to look first of all at our big point, and our big point throughout this entire day is this: I can depend and access God's power in my life. I can depend and access God's power in my life. So we want to look first of all at God's power described. God's power described. Merriam-Webster defines power as the ability to do something or act in a particular way, especially as a faculty or quality. And it goes on to define power secondly as the capacity or ability to influence the behavior of others or the course of events. The capacity or ability to influence the behavior of others or the course of events. So as we apply this to God, we can say because God is all-powerful or omnipotent, as we look at these passages today, God has the ability to accomplish anything that is according to His will, and has the capacity to change or enable the behavior and course of events of our lives. So let me say that again. Because God is all-powerful or omnipotent, we can rightly say that as we look at these passages today, God has the ability to accomplish anything that is according to His will, and has the capacity to change or enable the behavior and course of events of our lives. So as we look at God's power described, Job chapter 26 verse 12 tells us this: God divideth the sea with His power, and by His understanding He smiteth the proud. God's power has the ability to create as well as to judge. Psalm chapter 62 verse 11: God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. So true power, any enabling force, ultimately comes down to God. God in His essence has power. No one else has power as in the omnipotent power but God. Jeremiah 10 verse 12: He hath made the earth by His power. He hath established the world by His wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by His discretion. The very act of creating, limited only to the ability that God can give, is that of power and that which God has. The purpose that God has in His power, we see in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16, when He is getting ready to deliver His chosen people out of the hand of Pharaoh. And we see in Exodus chapter 9, verse 13, we begin there. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. Then he goes on to say to Moses, for at this time I will send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I will smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. God's power was being declared to the Egyptians, but God wanted Moses to understand this: I'm going to declare my power through you. And we see that on a side note, that God has the ability to declare His power through a person. But He says, I'm going to declare my power through you. Why? Look at the end of verse 16 again. That my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Folks, God wants to declare His power and to show His power through us as believers, so that His name may be declared throughout the whole earth. Can we say this? God wants to be glorified in the way that he shows his power through the lives of those that depend on him. So God wants to show his glory. He wants to be glorified in his power. But then Matthew 9, verse 6, as we looked in Mark chapter 1 and 2, when Jesus Christ healed the man that was lowered down by his four friends, we see that again in Matthew chapter 9. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 6, God tells the man that he's about to heal. It says, but that ye may know, and he's saying this to the man, but that also, he's also describing this to people who are being skeptical, the religious leaders. He says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. Do you realize that God has power not just to create, not just to judge, but to forgive sins? He has the power to deliver every single one of us. And if you're listening here today and do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know this today. God has the power to forgive your sins. What an amazing ability that only God has. Folks, you can't be delivered from your sins. First of all, you can't be delivered from the penalty of your sin. Only Jesus Christ, sent by God the Father to accomplish the will of God and a plan that had been laid out in eternity past, can forgive your sins. You don't have the power to change the course of events of your life. Ultimately, the course of events of your life, not in dependence on Jesus Christ for your salvation, will result in your death and everlasting damnation in hell. But Jesus Christ, as God, has the power through the fact that he died on the cross. He showed the power when he said, it is finished. He had accomplished the redeeming work on the cross. And then he showed the power over the penalty of death in raising from the dead on the third day. And Jesus Christ alone has the power to be able to save you from the penalty of your sin and change the course of events of your life so that you can have eternal life, not eternal death. But Christian, today Jesus wants you to know that he has the power to free you from the power of sin. You may be here today and say, Pastor, I am living a life completely chained by, in bondage by some sin that is holding me back from being able to serve God, from some sin that is holding me back from having a relationship with God, from some sin that is holding me back from having the right relationship with those around me, and I cannot get away from it. Christian, today, only Jesus Christ has the power to be able to free you from your sin. You should know that because you know you can't deliver yourself from the power of that sin. Sin may seem like it has a lot of power, but it doesn't need to because God is all-powerful and he has the ability and the power, the capacity to enable you to be free from that sin. So God's power is described that he has the ability to create, he has the ability to judge, he has the ability to save, and he has the ability to free you from your sin. So we see that God's power is described. Not only is God's power described, God's power is then declared. It is declared. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 and 12. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. In this great prayer of praise, you see all of these different attributes of God. The greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. God owns everything that is in the earth. Thy kingdom, O Lord, is exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come from God. God reigns over all. In his hand is power and might. And then he says, you have the ability to make great and to give strength unto all. How amazing that the very characteristics of God, the majesty of God, is built upon the power and glory of God. Psalm chapter 21, verse 13. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. It's interesting when we look at someone that may have some power, some ability that is beyond what we have, some leader, world leader, or military leader that has all this prowess. We look at them and generally speaking, we can look and we can find a force behind them, whether it is their training, whether it is a powerful system, a powerful political system that has brought them to the top and trained them to be a world leader, whatever it may be. God outranks every single one because it's by his own strength that he is exalted. It is the very power of God that raises him above everything else. And that power is self-existent within God. God is the one who is all-powerful, and therefore he has the strength to accomplish his work. Turn to Psalm chapter 147. Psalm chapter 147, declaring God's greatness. We see in Psalm chapter 147 in these last five Psalms, really dealing with praising God, a triumph of praise to God. Psalm 147 and verse 5 says this, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. And it comes after you see this praise of God for his different characteristics. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is the Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. This psalm is really a psalm of praise for what God has brought out of destruction. It's a praise to God for raising Jerusalem back up. The background is that which is when the foundations of Israel have been relaid after the exile. And you see the praise to God. But isn't it interesting? Verse 3, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. You know, it is pleasant for us to praise God. God views it as beautiful when we praise him for his power. But the power of God is that, not just to judge, not just to create, but to come down and have a personal interaction with our lives. Whatever trial you may be going through right now, whatever difficulty you may be facing, the fear that you may be going through, God says, I have the power to heal up the brokenhearted and to bind up the wounds. What hurt are you facing? Folks, God has the power to be able to heal up your broken heart, to be able to bind up, to begin the healing process of the wounds that you are facing. Spurgeon, in dealing with this verse, says, our Lord and King is great, magnanimous, infinite, inconceivably glorious. None can describe his majesty or reckon up the number of his excellences. What a wonderful privilege it is to praise God for his power in our lives and the ability that he has to heal the wounds that every single one of us face. Jeremiah 32 verse 17 says, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Folks, many of you may be facing difficulties in the coming days. All of us are going to be facing changes of life in the coming days because of the coronavirus and of everything that's going on. But folks, we don't need to be fearful of that. What a wondrous truth it is when we can come and we can focus our praise on God for his great delivering and changing power in our lives. Are you discouraged today? Take the time to praise God for his power. Take the time to praise God that in the midst of all your weakness, you can find God's power. In the midst of God's power being described and God's power being declared, we want to look then at God's power directed. What is the direction of God's power? And we begin to hone in a little bit on the application of this truth in our lives. God's power to direct. To direct what? 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 31 through 33 says this: "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect." What a wonderful truth here that we see that God has the power to direct my life. He has a power to protect me in the midst of trial. He has the power to be my steady influence in my life. When everything else around me is crumbling and seeming to fall apart, God is my strength. He is the one that I run to. He is my foundation. He maketh my way perfect. Folks, in the midst of everything that's going on, I know that if I depend on the power of an all-powerful God, God has the ability and capacity to change my life and to direct me into his perfect will. And I don't want to be any other place than the perfect will of God. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, if you know a little bit of the context of Matthew chapter 6, you know that it's in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount. And you see that Jesus is trying to teach practical truth to his disciples here. And one of the practical truths that he's wanting them to understand is that God has power. If you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, "And when thou prayest," this is the practical truth of when I seek after God. "But when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye." And I heard this preached on not too long ago, and it described the first half of this prayer, the things that matter to God. The second half dealing with things that matter to me. First half, verse 9, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And then we see the things that are applicable to me. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The reality of recognizing God's power in my life, we see that in verse Verse 13, lead us not into temptation. I think it's interesting that Jesus, in setting, even as Jesus is perfect, in setting this example of how we ought to pray, recognizes and declares God the Father's authority in his life. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Only God, again, has the power to deliver us from evil. We can't deliver ourselves. Only God has that ability. And then he says, for thine is the power, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is when we recognize God's ultimate authority in our lives on a daily basis through the way that we pray, through the way that we come to God. Don't we often, in the way that we pray, God, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything that you give to us. Now here's everything that I need. Folks, our prayers ought to be bathed in the praise and in the surrender to God's authority in our lives. So often we treat God, someone described it this way, and I thought it was a great description. We treat God like a vending machine. I come, I put in my prayer, and I expect God to deliver it. Folks, that's not the way we ought to be praying. That's not the way we ought to be functioning in our lives. Our prayers ought to be focused and surrounded by praise to God, by surrender to God. And we see that even in the midst of Jesus' human prayer, he understands God's authority at the very beginning. He describes and pleads that God's will be done on earth even as it is in heaven, where God's power is perfectly carried out, and he desires that God's power and God's will be perfectly carried out here on earth. Are you allowing God's authority to be seen in your life? Are you surrendered to it? God's authority, God's power, really synonyms for God's character in our lives. But then we need to understand this, that God's power must be requested. God does not force his power on us. He doesn't force his will on our lives. He does not force his sequence of events in our lives. He desires to order our lives, but it's only when we surrender. Psalm 61, turn to Psalm 63, 63 verse 1. Psalm chapter 63, in verse 1, we see again praising God for his goodness throughout the Psalms. But Psalm chapter 63, verse 1 is a psalm of dedication. You see verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. And that word early means often, urgently will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I had the opportunity when I was 16 years old to go to Israel. And one of the days that we traveled, we went to a place called En Gedi. And it's considered by many and by theologians and historians and cultural history to be David's spring. And it's interesting because it's in the middle of nowhere. And you drive up to it, it seems like this huge mound, kind of a hill, a very rocky hill. And you don't really understand why you're there until you have the opportunity to climb in and you have to take this hike back in the middle of the desert, and suddenly you come to this wonderful spring. It's a place where David hid out. It was somewhat of a fortress place for David as he was running from Saul. And I can imagine him being in the wilderness and having this desire to be back at En Gedi and writing this psalm. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. That's chapter 62. He's crying out, chapter 63, O God, thou art my God. I will seek thee early. My soul thirsteth for thee. And it's as if his soul is matching his physical desire for water. And he says, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, as thirsty as you could be and dying of that thirst and thinking back to where there is water. He says, that's how my soul desires. Spurgeon again says this, it is a precious thought that the divine power and glory are not confined in their manifestation to any places or localities. They are to be heard above the roaring of the sea, seen amid the glare of the tempest, felt in the forest and the prairie, and enjoyed wherever there is a heart that longs and thirsts to behold him. It says this, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. In this time, and I thought this was so applicable, in this time where we can't be together as a church family, you don't have to be together to see God's power. You can see it in your life today. You can see it on the job tomorrow. You can see it as you log into your online classes in the next days and weeks. You can see God's power in your life no matter where you are. God's power is not just shown through the church. It's shown through individual lives. And God wants to show his power through your life. Psalm chapter 71, verse 18. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. What ought to be our desire in allowing God to show his power through our lives? Our desire ought to be that we can show God's power through our lives to impact the lives of others. The psalmist here is praying that God, even in his old age, would show his power to the next generation. You have the opportunity to show a testimony of how God's power has changed your life to everyone that is to come. Folks, are you overwhelmed by everything that's going on? Are you fearful of what the future holds for your job, for your family, even for our church? In the midst of all the uncertainty and fear, remember this, God is still on the throne. God has all power, and he alone has the ability to meet your needs and to change your lives. Hudson Taylor says this, many Christians estimate difficulty in the light of their own resources, and thus they attempt very little, and they always fail. All giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his power and presence to be with them. Are you reckoning your circumstances based on your resources? I think of it this way. In the midst of everything, as we look toward whatever may come in the coming days, we find ourselves looking at what we have. Do I have enough, whatever it may be, toilet paper? Do I have enough canned goods? Do I have enough frozen things? I was talking to someone this week and I told them, I said, I think a proper quarantine food is pizza. And so I take stock of my pizza. Do I have enough frozen pizza to hold out for 2 weeks if I had to go into quarantine? Well, folks, we often look at our human resources, and even in the midst of the trying times, even though that's somewhat of a humorous illustration, we find ourselves saying, can I get through this with what I have? Folks, can I get through my life with the power that I have? We're going to continually fail, Hudson Taylor says. We will continually fail when we look at our lives based on what we can do. Great giants spiritually, people that have made an impact spiritually, D.L. Moody, the great missionaries of the past, the Apostle Paul. These men understood that they were weak. They could not accomplish God's will in their lives without dependence on the very power of God. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians, we see Paul describing really the key and the secret, verse chapter 12, this key and the secret to the power that we see in Paul's life. Chapter 12, verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." That's God's supernatural enabling. Could we say God's power in my life? "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul's response: "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake." This is the lesson that Paul himself learned: "For when I am weak, then am I strong." Do you recognize your weakness today? It's in your weakness that God's power and strength can be made evident. Will you depend on the power of God to declare his power as testimony to those around you as you communicate with folks today and this week? God wants to take your weakness, to take my weakness, an inability to accomplish anything, and live his power, his capable power and ability through our lives. He is simply waiting for us to depend on him. We're going to look a little bit more this evening at how God's power is played out in our lives. But are you willing to surrender to the power of God? Are you willing to seek his face, to seek his presence in your life? Because the presence of God is just simply a manifestation of the power of God. Are you surrendered to the power of God today? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the fact that your power has changed our lives in giving us salvation. I pray if there's one listening today that does not know you as their personal Savior, that they would understand that it's your power that has the ability to rescue them from hell, to forgive their sins, to give eternal life. And Lord, today would be the day of salvation for them, I ask. Lord, I pray for us as Christians today that you would work in our hearts. Help us to get past our circumstances. Help us to get past our weaknesses and our failures and depend on the power of an all-powerful God. Lord, help us to depend on you, to see our weakness as the beginning of your strength. And we pray that you would do great things in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. If there's anything we can do to help you, please let us know. If there's anything that you need to discuss, if you have a need, a concern, if you have any questions about the message today, please call us, email us, talk to us. We'd love to be able to help you in any way we can. We'll be praying for you. We love you all, and we'll look forward to meeting again this evening.